Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
And here we are once again, back in the studio with Taff Winnick. This is Jason Graves and the Blazing Grace Show. Thanks for listening. We are so glad that we have an audience. But more importantly, we are so glad that you care enough about the Blazing Grace Show to tune in and, Taff, to just listen to two guys in an office here doing a radio show. I mean, who knew? It's one of those mysteries. So thank you for tuning in, for praying for us. And as our producer, Mike De Herrera, says at the end of the show, we are listener supported. So whenever you support us, you are joining us in our redemptive vision to reach the masses. So excited about that. Look, we're going to continue our discussion about brotherhood today. And if you tuned in last time, we had a great time talking about brotherhood, didn't we, Taff?
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're going to continue that today. But first, a couple events you should know about. If you're going to be around the Memphis area in Tennessee, not the one in Egypt, I don't know. Is there another Memphis in the world? Does it matter? Let's just give them the dates.
Yeah, well, and you may be there too at some point. But
yes, but we're not going to be there.
There's one in Texas. Don't go to that one either.
However, if on October 17th through the 19th, 2008, you're going to be around, or if you want to come to Memphis, we're going to do a men's retreat. So you can find out more at healingforthesoul.org. On the services tab, click retreats. Also, Taff and I will be at the Love One Out conference in Colorado Springs. It's the 10th anniversary, Taff, of Love One Out. So if you're dealing with same-gender attractions or a family person, a family member who is dealing with the same, then Love One Out is for you. And so you can find out more about that at Love One Out. That's love, WONOut.com. So, brotherhood. Just a recap of last time. We talked a little bit about what it is. You know, it's fighting for another man's story. It's family. It's being like family, since we all have one father. It's fellowship. But we got into talking about the things that are sometimes obstacles, like competitiveness, etc. I want to talk a little bit today, Taff, about a little bit more about obstacles, if we can. But since you and I work with so many guys who are dealing with sexual addiction and or same gender attractions, those two things and brotherhood, and what are some of the implications there? And then you talked last time about brotherhood and significance. And so if we can get to that too today. But the last thing is recovering from not having that. And I know you've got some stories. Can you tell us a little bit what it's been like for you at times where you've had this ache and this desire for brotherhood and connection with other guys, but it hasn't been there or it's been taken away?
Well, it goes like this. I think probably the enemy would love for me personally to stop believing in brotherhood.
Mm.
You know, as life goes on, as you experience a lot of things, you experience fallout or what, even if it's not fallout, just the dissolution, disappointment, yeah, or it just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason. And I think, and that isn't just personal to me, I think the enemy would love, the enemy of our souls would love for us to stop believing that true, deep, good, life-giving brotherhood is possible.
Right.
If he could get us to stop believing that,
right,
to affirm to us that we really are on our own to figure this thing out,
right?
I think it'd be a win for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
divide
it is.
Divide and conquer, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a minute ago, and I can say more about some personal testimony. I guess for me, there have been times when I've needed to lean somewhere,
mm-hmm,
and I've really had to, I've looked hard for it. For a place to lean, a brother to lean on,
right,
you know, in a certain circumstance, or, you know, and this may just be me, but, you know, getting married and having kids, I didn't step into either of those arenas as an expert.
Right.
And, you know, have learned what failure is and learned how not to do some things. And, mm-hmm, you know, there's times when you kind of yearn for some mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
and that can go off the rails.
Right.
The significance thing plays in sometimes because we like to be needed
right.
as men, but we don't like to need.
Well, either that or because we're so wounded, we can only need. You know what I mean? There tends to be a polarization there, doesn't there? Where we either go one up or one down. You know, when you said mentor, I mean, I remember feeling like I needed to find the perfect man that I could follow, latch on to, get, you know, wisdom from, and who would just kind of tell me how to live life. And you know what? I've learned today that not only does that not exist, but that God does not want us to have that in a person here on earth. He wants to be that person in our life as we pursue him. And certainly he gives us shades of that through the godly leaders he puts in our life and the brothers like yourself he puts in my life. But anything short of following him in that, you know, we risk idolatry. So, I mean, to give you an example for me, gosh, when I was in sixth grade, I used to go by Jay. Everyone called me Jay. And so all of a sudden in sixth grade, I ran for class secretary. Now, I didn't really know that secretary was sort of, you know, more associated with women, right? So I lost to a girl. All right. So I lost the election to a girl. And then but it was by one vote, a girl. Okay. So the thing about that for me was the painful part was I started being called Gay Jay. I mean, I don't know who started it, but it was like, it felt like the whole school was calling me Gay Jay all year long. And of course, there was the accompanying things with that. I won't say them on air. They're not the politest of words.
Right.
But, you know, you can imagine what they could have been. You know, in a sixth grade, kids are pretty cruel. And I remember going home every single day and just wishing I had one friend. I mean, part of it was sort of my childish victim mentality, saying that I didn't have any friends when I did. I just wasn't appreciating the ones I had, and I felt so attacked all the time. I just wanted that one friend. And I think some of that needing that perfect mentor thing that I've struggled with has been that I had a brotherhood deficit growing up, and I had some abuse there that made me go beyond what I really needed and what was really good and healthy for me to something that I don't know if you could say it was too much of a good thing, but it was, again, it was disproportionate or unbalanced. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know, you know, if you can relate in your stories with that kind of a thing, but that's sort of where I've come from.
Right. What it makes me think of is I've found in talking to, you know, people in counseling settings, things like that, that men don't need things any less than women do. But in trying to find the perfect mentor, you know, in my background, you know, there was this, there's got to be some guy who I got to find somebody who can shepherd me into this thing, mm-hmm. into this, whoever I'm supposed to be in the kingdom.
Right.
And what I find is that men have these needs, but some men have a need to be needed.
Yeah.
Because that's easier than saying what they really need.
Mm.
And so they need to mentor.
And it's a safer thing to just be needed.
It's a much safer thing.
More vulnerable to need, right?
Right.
And that probably goes back to the significance question, doesn't it?
And it makes it hierarchical. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it like this, and this was most, I could see this probably most plainly when I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy shows up in his 20s and he's walking around men who are in their, you know, late 30s to, you know, 50s or beyond,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks he has something to say, you know, or he thinks that he wants to feel his significance, mm-hmm. as a young man, and he goes after these mentoring relationships because that ends up being kind of maybe the pathway to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But as he begins to walk with these men, these mentors sometimes can only see that friend, that friendship, that brotherhood in the context of the hierarchy of mentor and learner.
Right.
And that that handicaps how a couple of men walk together.
Well, I think that is part of our fallen nature, isn't it? To you know, create hierarchies. When you look at it, God talks about us as Christians as the body of Christ, where the body is more like a team. I mean, you think about it, like, is your eyeball better than your hand? Well, no, they're just both part of the body. Like, your eyeball cannot shoot a basket, right? And neither can your hand, like, see the beauty of creation. Okay, but together, you know, we accomplish things as a body, and we have different gifts that we bring to the table. And so those are the things, the giftings that make us significant in the holy sense, or in the redemptive sense, right?
I mean, and I think really all we want is just to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in any kind of self-centered, narcissistic way. I just mean we'd like to be seen as having that value, whatever
right,
that is.
Right.
Eye or hand or toenail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the toenail. But but having that value for someone to say, and here I go back to the battlefield thing. I mean, every man is needed.
Yeah.
When it comes to fighting a battle in life, when it comes to the war for our souls, it doesn't matter if you fight better or worse or in a more public way than someone else.
Right.
You are so vital.
Right. We're all called to a different station, right? I mean, you need people like William Wallace that are willing to, for whatever reason, because of the way they're created, to charge down the middle of the field first into battle. You need people like that just as much as you need people... like go to the Lord of the Rings analogy, where they're defending that castle, and it's up against the mountain there. I don't know which one that was, but or where that was. Do you remember the name of that? I'm gonna get stuck on that, but I won't. Anyways, they're in that castle. They're getting attacked by orcs, and there's people that are filling those oil buckets so that they can dump hot oil on the orcs and stuff. And you need people who are going to be able to do that lesser role. And, you know, I sometimes tell guys, well, you know, I do a lot of speaking, right? Well, you know, the mouth is the part of the body that houses more bacteria than any other part. So it's sort of an over-glorified thing from that standpoint. We all have ups and downs to whatever station in life we have. And it's when we're willing to lend the ups and be supported in the downs that forms brotherhoods, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Minas Tirith, by the way.
Minas Tirith. Okay, good.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. Right. See, there we go. We're living it on air. So, all right. Now, listen, if you're just joining us, we're talking about brotherhood. This is Jason Graves with Taff Winnick on the Blazing Grace Show, where we're trying to figure this thing out. Taff, you know, we like to kind of use our own friendship as an example when we can. And we joke that we have what I call a formidable bromance. And so that's a lot of fun. But you're a dear friend.
Yeah, run that back and listen to it again. He did say that.
Formidable bromance. Okay. Sounds like the name of a rock band or something. I don't know. So, but we've been talking about this thing and figuring it out. And one of the things I think for our clients that they need to have us spend a little time on is obstacles. And we've talked a little bit about earlier today in this show about how sometimes we go one up, one down. What about brotherhood and guys that deal with same gender attractions? Because obviously that could be a messy world. But what have you observed about obstacles for guys dealing with the same gender thing? And while it's such a need, yet it sometimes can be so hard to attain.
Yeah, I don't think in terms of sexual brokenness, mm-hmm. and this is just to my mind, and you may want to say some things about this too, Jason, but I don't think the battle changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes like this. If we don't see ourselves well, if we're not seeing what Christ sees in us, You know, if we don't know who we are as sons, and if the reason for that is sexual brokenness, whether it's same gender attraction or not, there is life to be found in brotherhood.
Right.
Is there opportunity to overconnect? Absolutely. Is there opportunity to overinvest? Absolutely.
Right.
We don't get to get around this idea. We have to walk with God in
that. Right.
It requires the help of our brothers. And some people, I've heard people say, you know, well, how is it that a bunch of people who have the same brokenness are going to help one another?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't there blind spots everywhere?
Yeah, you buy what you sell.
Right. And what I find as I walk with men and as I listen and I facilitate groups and I'm hearing how God really does attend those meetings.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, it's almost a palpable sense of where two or three are gathered in my name, right. I will come and be right there in their midst.
Right.
And the healing that comes to men through the counsel of men.
Right.
It's remarkable because so many that, at least in my experience with same gender attraction, a man will be in his adulthood and have never really gotten a sense of from the heart of the father, mm-hmm. has never really gotten a sense of who he is in his masculine soul.
Well, and wouldn't that sometimes cause a person to reject brotherhood when they were met with it?
Yeah, that's complicated.
Right, because I know what I've experienced is there have been times where I have been invited into brotherhood, but it scared me off. And I've sensed in others when I've approached brotherhood with them, it was either rejected or ignored because either they weren't willing or able to hold that. Because it is a lot to hold. I mean, let me, you know, I know that, you know, I love you and I want to be there for you. And that's, you know, that's a challenge, right? I mean,
sure.
Your life is not simple, neither is mine. And not many people is, and there's stuff. But we can't give up. You know what I mean? Like, I cannot, you know, in the recent years before I met you, man, I've been rejected big time. And I mean, I know that, like, when you share from your heart with another person, you give that gift to them, and they're not able to accept it in one way or another. That is painful and discouraging, but we have to keep believing because we don't just serve ourselves or that person in the arena of brotherhood. We're serving the Almighty God who's able to do abundantly more and beyond what we're able to accomplish in and of ourselves. And doesn't that kind of tap in to what you were saying earlier about when we try to do it ourselves, we screw it up?
Well, I was just thinking, yeah, while you were saying that part, that
you had plenty of time to think.
If we, right, yeah, because that was like a 5-minute segment. So
right,
I got all kinds of stuff now.
Yeah.
If we really only have the power of our soul to rely on, it's going to go off track or it will fizzle out. If we really only have that as we're trying to be a brother to someone, if we're trying to walk in relationship, even our marriages, if all we have is our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, and we're not tapping in to what the Holy Spirit would like to do through us,
mm-hmm.
if we're not seeing it, then we wear out. We don't have enough in our soul we don't have enough under the hood to be good brothers to each other without the presence of the Lord in our life.
Right.
Without him actually speaking to our hearts and giving us reserves that we didn't know we had.
Right.
You know, I really, my heart aches for the loneliness of those times in men, like you were describing for yourself, where you feel like you had to fight for yourself.
Right. Well, let's get practical. I'd like to know, how do you get that? Okay. Because, I mean, there's men in my life that are at one stage or another in having enough to give. And you seem to be one of those who has a lot to give. And oftentimes you give so selflessly that it's like, wow, I wonder if even maybe he's just giving like sacrificially. But how does a person get enough to have enough to give? You know what I mean? Like there's that saying, you can't give what you don't have, right?
Right.
And so a lot of us are just walking around going, man, I don't have enough, even for myself. How could I give to others? How do you get that? How do you store it up? How do you have enough?
Well, I don't want to sound I'm afraid to sound like I have that completely together, like some icon of brotherhood. But it goes something like this. You know, I was thinking about the loaves and the fishes.
Mm.
You know, and you show up with not enough.
Right.
And it really isn't up to me to distribute that mm-hmm. to God's people or to brother men that would want my brotherhood. It's not really even up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think on a practical note, though, for me, it's that I've just learned to stop wondering how much supply is there. Because I just can't anymore think of myself as the supply.
Yeah, because when...
Whether it's my gifts or whether it's right. what I can do or what I can write mm-hmm. or how I can say it or all that's just blah.
Right.
That means nothing.
Right. Because if God's going to feed 5,000 through you, it doesn't matter if there were 12 fish or two in that basket, right?
Or 100.
Right.
It still wouldn't have been enough. And the deal is just to show up.
Yep.
And to keep showing up. Yep. And a lot of times I will invest in a place, I will invest from a place in my heart where I'm actually experiencing poverty in that area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like the tank is empty, and the Lord says something to my heart like, okay, so what are you going to do?
It's like that verse, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of things unseen. So like when you're taking the risk to reach out there and enrich a relationship with another brother and take a risk to, you know, try and bless him, you may not see the fruit right away. But you have to believe. That's where faith comes in. And when we take risks and let our faith dictate how we act, that creates opportunity for God to come in. And so
well, and for
it's
me,
exciting.
Yeah, and for me, it's hard to think ahead of what the fruit might be or seeing the fruit. It's usually something like, gosh, I hope I have something that will help.
Right, right.
You know, I hope I can show up here.
Yep.
And whether there's fruit or not, I just. You know, whatever I have, if I have my empty hands, well, that's what I'll give.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know about the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to trust that the Lord will do that. And I'm finding more often the goodness of God mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah.
That showing up with nothing to give.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like getting that uncomfortable itch, you know, when mm-hmm. the offering plate's going around and, you know, You got less than nothing to give
right,
there.
Right. It's kind of like, I look at it this way. An old sales proverb that I used to live by, and we're going to have to end with this, is when it comes to rejection, each no is that much closer to a yes. So you guys out there, man, if you can think of it as, I'm going to keep going for it, I'm going to keep reaching out, you're going to be in good shape. Look, if you need help with that, if you need some counseling, why don't you get a hold of Taff or I? You can reach Taff on the web at legendcounseling.com or just call him at 719-268-2764. And then similarly, you can find me at healingforthesoul.org or call 719-590-7685. Well, we hope that you listen to us next time. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.